Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, did anybody go out last night and look up? Did you? Last night was a special night, August 10th. It starts a particular season. Sometimes it's called the Tears of Lawrence. Did you know that? You know what I'm referring to? The meteor showers that happens yearly, beginning August 10th. If you go out late at night, I tried last night about 10 o'clock, trying to get my night eyes. I couldn't quite see it. But you go out that late, you can see what? Falling stars, right? Shooting stars. Did you see some last night? No, I didn't either. Ah, bummer. I have to try it tonight. It's supposed to be for like a whole month, maybe. You know, when I was young, though, I remember when I was young, maybe 8, 9, 10, something like that, going out in the backyard, and even my friends getting out in a tent and staying out all night, looking up late at night, waking up and looking at those shooting stars in South Dakota where there's hardly any lights anyway. And man, was it beautiful. Just wonderfully glorious and exciting. I love that. And it's an experience that we all should see someday, right, if we can't. So tonight you stay out late at night out here in Maryville and look up at the stars. Beautiful thing. Also reminded me of a story. I know this summer there's been a movie, Tonto, right? You heard about that in the theaters, Lone Ranger and Tonto. Well, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were out, and they were sleeping, and probably been sleeping for a little while, until a little later on the night, the Lone Ranger nudged Tonto, woke him up. He says, "Tonto, look up. What do you see?" And Tonto looks up, and he sees the stars. He goes, "Well, those supposedly gaseous explosions, those stars are really my relatives, my ancestors. They all fought for justice and for peace. This is exciting. This reminds me of who I am. These are my relatives, my ancestors." He goes, "What do you make of it?" The Lone Ranger says, "Tonto, you fool, somebody stole our tent." Starry contemplation is something we hear about in scriptures too, right? And not just the Lone Ranger and Tonto, but Abram had starry contemplation, if you will. God brought him out in Genesis chapter 15. But before Genesis chapter 15, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 12, where God says, "I will make you a great nation. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And then three chapters later, Abram remained childless. Three chapters later. He says, "Well, how is this going to happen?" And the clock wasn't going backwards, if you will, if you know what I mean. So in our text today, Abram began to look for earthly solutions to the problem so that he would not have to live by faith. That's what we heard in our text today, that Jim read. "Eliezer of Damascus, surely God, you mean him to be my heir, even though he's not my son, but he's living in my household, and I'm childless, so Eliezer, really, that must be what you meant when you promised that through my generations, through my children, he's like my son. Eliezer of Damascus, right, the God?" He's looking for human solutions to the problem that God promised him. But we all know that this was not to be. But we do know Abram's thinking all too well, do we not? We are Abram. Sometimes life seems to be like one big impossible problem after another. And so we try to put faith in ourselves and our own reason and our own explanations for things. Or we try to put faith in ourselves and answer this question: what's going to happen if I don't fulfill God's promises? Rather than God fulfilling his promises through me, what happens if I don't fulfill God's promises? And we think that faith depends on us, right? And what we do, as if faith was some enterprise that we create and do and fulfill, then God rewards in the end. What must I do to fix things? Rather than to turn to God and say, "Oh God, I am helpless. Help me, oh God. Help me to understand. Help me to be patient. Help me to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to act and to grant fulfillment to God's promise and purpose." And then in our text today, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Important words. The word of the Lord came to Abram, and it said, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." In other words, the word of the Lord promised an impossible birth from an ancient father. Right? Did you catch that? The word of the Lord, the word, promised an impossible birth from an ancient father, Abram, we might say. But this should really remind us of what? Of Christ. Huh? He is the word, right? The word of the Lord. An impossible birth, born of what? The Virgin Mary. From an ancient father. Who is that? God our Father, someone who's older than Abraham, Abram. And to bless all the nations of the earth, we think of not Isaac, but rather we think of Jesus. He's the one through whom all the nations shall be blessed, right? So really, even that promise given to Abram, we should think about Christ and how that impossible birth, the word of the Lord, and how all the nations will be blessed. Really, it's really talking about Jesus who is to come. But the earth gains wisdom from a heavenly point of view, and that's the whole also purpose of this text today, because God brought Abram outside, didn't he? And he said, "Look up, look toward the heavens, and number the stars if you can count them." Then he said to them, "Someone stole your tent." No, he said, "So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and God credited to him as righteousness. You see here how God corrected Abram's lack of faith by bringing him outside, away from his problems of childlessness, away from the futility of his own reasoning and attempted fix by an ungodly solution, away from faith in man, whom we can see, and faith to God, whom we cannot see. Faith in the word of the Lord that connects the promises of God to the multitude of the heavenly host. Abram, though he could not see God, saw the light of heaven along with the word of the promise. And he believed, not just that God exists, but that God will make good on his seemingly impossible promise, yet very explicit promise of a son. And that's what God counts as righteousness. Not that just Abram believed in God, but that Abram believed that God would fulfill the promise to give a son. And that's the kind of faith that God counts as righteousness. What does our God do for us today in the light of our own lack of faith, which we have plenty of lack of faith? We live every day with a certain amount of lack of faith, even though we thank God, God calls us by the Spirit to church to hear the word of God and to have his word and been baptized. But the Lord in his word corrects our view of life as a cycle of sin and death and impossibility. The same word that came to Abram comes to us. And God directs us to go outside and to look up. To look up at that one star, if you will, that came down from heaven and was lifted up to die. Sin-filled, unbelieving hearts look to God. Because there, in that light of God, that light from that one star that came down from heaven, that one falling star, if you will, that star that was then lifted up again on the cross for all the world to see, through that star, through that light, all men find the light of salvation, the light of hope, the light of sins forgiven, the light of the resurrection of the body, through that one beautiful, glorious, bright morning star, if you will, as Jesus is called in the book of Revelation, the bright morning star. We didn't reach the stars by our own efforts. In any sense of the word, we failed at being sin-free, at fulfilling the law, at finding faith within ourselves for God. But God reached down, just as we sang in the hymn just now, God reached down by sending the promise of his very own Son, the heir of heaven, who became man in real time and space and brought with him the light and life and immortality to light. Just as Isaac was born to Father Abraham, so was Christ born to our Father in heaven. and all nations through him are blessed. Friends, I want to take us back to the beginning of the sermon today. And as we travel together through this journey of life, if you will, this journey of faith towards heaven, we can look at others, we can look at all in the world, and we can say this about reality, can we not? Some people will be lone rangers, right? They'll try to go it alone. They are commentators on the obvious. They find no meaning in the universe apart from their own existence. And they call friends fools for looking up to heaven in faith and hope. Others will be tontos. These find too much meaning in the stars. Perhaps they worship the stars or think that they can reach stardom by doing all that is in them to correct wrongs in the universe, by doing justice. This is a failed religion invented by man. Tontos and lone rangers end up in the same grave. But then there is the faith of Abraham. His looking up to the stars was different. He didn't find mystic meaning in them. He listened to the word of the Lord, who compares their multitude to the blessing that we share by faith in the promise of a son. So may you this day find such faith in the promise of a son, so that you live by faith in the same promise given to Abram, which is the promise that has been fulfilled for us in the man, the bright morning star, Jesus Christ. May you live each and every day by faith, as in the epistle today, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Live your whole life by faith. And God will credit that to you as what? As righteousness, as being right with him. For he wants all hearts to believe in him by faith, so that later we see the stars of heaven be all around us, the stars and the light that is the glory of the kingdom of God. God grant these things to you by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.